Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 46. We're going to read the entire Psalm, verses 1 through 11 together. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. And we'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of earth. He breaketh a bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth a chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, this morning in Sunday school, and our buildings were just a fevered pace with so many people and the excitement of the teaching of the Word of God. And yet, that was not good enough. Lord, we are sinful people and a needy people. And because of that, we bring a lot of problems and a lot of things into our lives. Therefore, we need your teaching and your help and your comfort. Father, you've given us the gift of a man of God. Thank you that it can be said in our city, there is a man of God in this city. Lord, you've given us the choicest of your servants. Father, please fill him with your power as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, the subject of my sermon is about strength. I call the sermon, Stress, the Strength Stealer. Stress, the Strength Stealer. Well, I hope that you'll listen. Some of you need so desperately to learn what I'm about to teach you. I really don't want this to be one of those sermons where you hear it, you take a moment to admire it, and then you walk away and don't do anything about it. It's not going to help you that way. The truth is not for your casual observation, but it is for our intense living. If you'll take what's taught and use it, it's going to make a difference in your life. It will. This is one of those sermons where you need to learn the truth and then you apply it to the rest of your life if you would like to be a faithful Christian from now until the day that you die. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 is not a verse that we read together earlier, but it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We all need strength. Everybody needs strength. Everybody gets weary, and I'm talking about both physically and spiritually. Here in Psalm 46, it said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When it talks about our refuge, it's talking about God is our safe place. Then it says, God is our strength. So there is a safe way to get strength. And it says he is a very present help. What's that mean? It means he is a right now help. He can help us right now. He can help us right now with what? He can help us right now. He is our refuge. We can get strength right now, very present strength from our God. I'll tell you a very brief story. I mentioned earlier in the announcements, my wife had some surgery this week that will render her incapable to walk, and it's going to take some weeks for her to really get back on her feet properly, and they don't want her to enter the surgery. Now, Mrs. Owens, I don't have to say this, but I will. She's one of the sweetest gals you'll ever meet. She's not hard to please. She's not a griper. She's not a complainer. But she had, I asked her when the other day, I said, honey, I said, we'd gotten home from the hospital and put her in her chair and ice packs and all sorts of things trying to keep the swelling down. And many, many hours later, I was wanting to do something for her, and I felt so helpless because I could not ease the pain. I could not help. I said, honey, what can I do for you? And she very, very kindly and sweetly and gently said, well, honey, I'd like to have a couple pieces of toast. And I thought, that's easy. If there's one thing I can cook toast. Who can't make toast? I said, okay. And I got the toaster down, and we have one of them fancy four-slice toasters, and it's got knobs and mechanisms on the front of it. And I said, okay, honey, I've got the toaster down. Now, I was joking. I said, how do you want it? And she said, I want two pieces. Okay, now turn the telephone all the way off, and then leave it off. I said, how do you want the toast? And I'll tell you, I was a bit tired. I was in a hurry, had a whole bunch of things on my mind. And she said, well, I'd like two pieces. I said, okay. And I grabbed the first two pieces. And then, now she was in the other room. I was in the kitchen. I grabbed those first two pieces. And then she said, and not the heel. So I put the heel back in. And I pulled out another piece. She said, well, I want rye, not white. So I put it back in, went and got the rye bread. She said, not the heel. Okay, all right. She said, if you'll set the toaster on 7.5. We do, we have a little knob. I turned it to 7.5. I got the butter out. She said, honey, I don't want butter. I want that. She likes to eat healthy. She said, I want that health food spread. So I put the butter back and I got the spread out. She said, now remember when you put that spread on the top, cover the top of the bread completely. She didn't like a dab of spread or butter in the middle. I mean, like icing. She wants the top of that thing covered where you can't see it. And so I did it. And I'll tell you what. I was in the kitchen. What started out to be two little simple pieces of toast. She could not see me. I could not see her. But at one point I went, I felt the stress of those two simple pieces of toast. She couldn't see me. I couldn't see her, but I was. I just put my head down on the stove there, and I thought, oh, and I felt drained for a minute. Then it occurred to me, now, why am I doing this? What am I doing? And then I thought back into the other room, and I thought, you know, the whole reason I asked is because I wanted to serve her. And the whole reason I asked is because I wanted to do something good for her. And suddenly, as I got my mind off of me and how for a moment I seemed to be inconvenienced, and for a moment I seemed to be the one that was being required of me, and it was a little inconvenient for me. When I got my eyes off of me and back onto the lady that I loved, who I was trying to serve, who I was trying to meet her need, suddenly all the little bits of frustration went away, and I thought, you know, I'm glad to do this. My attitude changed, and then suddenly my strength and desire to go on and do what needed to be done was increased. Now, I want you to understand something. When everything around us is falling apart, we do not have to fall apart. Do you realize that 27 times in the Bible we are commanded to be strong? 27 times you and I, as born-again Christians, are commanded to be strong. Now, God would be unfair to command us to do something that would be beyond our ability to do, because God is a fair God. And God is a just God. So if God comes along and 27 times says to me, Jeff Owens, you need to be strong, that means God is going to give me the wherewithal to be what He expects me to be. That means I can decide to be strong. I can decide to be strong. You need to be careful with this anemic world and the philosophies of today that everybody's a victim and they can't be strong. Yes, you can be strong. And especially can a Christian be strong. Now, we go to the doctor and we feel run down, and rightfully so sometimes. But let me tell you something. Dr. Jesus can offer us some strength at no charge. I work long hours. I'm always on the go. And I'm going to share with you some of the things that I do. Not just things that I've heard about, but what do I do to try to help myself remain strong? These are things that I do to try to keep me strong. Many doctors will tell you that much of our tiredness or our lack of strength, much of it's mental. I've sat on the couch here just saying, I'm weary. If I can get just enough energy to go out in the yard and go to work, I find out I wasn't as tired as what I thought. But I had to convince me to go do what I was supposed to do. And I go through a little mental battle with this thing called weariness. The secret to a lack of strength or tiredness in many cases is reducing stress. I'm going to talk to you about that. Again, I carry, maybe not as much as some of you, but I carry a heavy load. I have a lot of responsibility. I carry burdens in life. Of course, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a Christian, but I'm a pastor. And though you might not know a lot about the ministry, there are a lot of burdens that you carry in the ministry. And I not only try to carry my own, but I would like to help carry yours. I would like to help carry some of the load that you carry. And I have to, though, if I'm going to keep my strength up, I've got to figure out how to get it done. I keep my stress to a minimum so I have strength to carry many burdens. The better you deal with stress, the more you're going to be able to carry your burdens and the burdens of other people. I'll guarantee you that. You show me somebody that's not good with stress, I'll show you somebody that can't carry very many burdens. I require of myself to keep the stress level down because I love you and I want to meet your needs and I want to help carry your burdens. Now you listen to me, folks. If I crack up and go bonkers and can't take it, how can I help you? You need me to hold it together. Therefore, I must require of me that I lower the stress level to keep the strength level up so I can carry both my burden and help you to carry yours too. Now, what I'm about to teach you and talk to you about, I know it works. I'm not about to tell you something that I read in somebody's book that read it in somebody's book that read it in somebody's book. I'm about to tell you something I read in the only book that God ever wrote. I'm about to tell you about the one that gives all strength and how you can help yourself. There are some secrets to eliminating stress from your life. I need strength. And not only do I need it, God commands me to have it. But I know something. And if you would take a moment to mentally analyze your life, stress steals strength. Stress steals strength. Now, one of the secrets to eliminating stress is to forget about yourself. Now, believe me, I know what I'm talking about here. One of the secrets to eliminating stress is to forget about yourself. I experience stress most if I dwell on how an occurrence of life affects me. Let me say it again. I experience stress the most if I dwell on how an occurrence of life affects me. Stress has a large dose of stinginess included in it. Now, I know some of you aren't going to like this, but I need to tell you. There's a big old dose of stinginess that's tucked inside the elements of stress. Stress is partially caused and definitely increased by self-observation and self-concern. Mrs. Owens, out at the house, we I've got some stone, some slate, if you will, that we put down as a sidewalk and on our patio, and she's always wanted me to line our driveway with it. I brought her home from the hospital the other day, and while she was resting, I thought, I'll go down and work on that. When I was working on it, I was sitting there, and I had to get right down on my hands and knees, and I had to dig out a place to put the stone in and get everything set just right. And when I was sitting there, a big old snake come crawling by me. Now, the snake didn't scare me. I took my shovel out and I removed his tail right behind his ears. Took him and hung him on my four-wheeler. It was my trophy kill of the day. Felt good to kill the snake. And one of our folks, actually Jacob Savade and his mom drove by. They drove by and came back by, and when they came back by, Jacob said, "Hey, preacher, how you doing?" He's one of our teenagers. I grabbed that snake up, and I said, "Hey, Jacob, want to see a snake?" He had no idea. I just grabbed a snake. And he went, "Huh!" He jumped out of the car, started running down the hill, left his mom in the car right there, ran down the hill. He said, "Don't do that to me, preacher. Don't do that to me." I said, "Jacob, it's dead." He said, "Oh." He said, "All right." He came back up. Now, let me tell you something. He was stressed because of his concern on how that snake was going to affect him. The minute he found out that it wasn't going to affect him, the stress levels dropped real quickly. My question is, "Jacob, why are you leaving your mom behind? Protector, watch out now." Listen, stress can rob you and I of our mental and our physical strength. Now, God commands strength. He says, "Christian, be strong. Be strong and of good courage." And I'm telling you, 27 times, God said, "Christian, be strong. I expect you to be strong. Be strong in a difficult world. Be strong in difficult situations. Be strong, Christian, be strong." So God commands strength. But stress steals strength. I must then reduce my stress so it can increase my strength. I call the sermon "Stress, the Strength Stealer." And you just remember, if you can reduce stress, it will help to increase strength. And you don't have to be real smart to know that stress steals our emotional strength. It steals our physical strength. Stress will steal a certain amount of spiritual strength. You stay with me, and I'm going to give you some scripture. I wish so much, part of me wants to just cut loose and run like an Indian and preach this, but it requires a certain amount of teaching to go along with the preaching. So those of you that are mature, you're going to have to listen on purpose. I can't do a puppet show to keep your attention today. Just get enough strength to pay attention this morning, and I'll help you. Let me say this. Number one, making God happy reduces stress and increases your strength. Making God happy reduces stress and increases strength. Let me read to you from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, what are we talking about? I'd like to help all of you to get strong. Some of you that are weary. Now, I'll be very, very straightforward. Some of you that struggle with a lack of strength in life need to slap yourself, wake up this morning, stay awake during this sermon to get the answer to your problem. You gotta muster enough strength this morning to zero in, lock your brain in, shake off the fact that you stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning watching the television, which causes you to fall asleep the next morning, shake off the fact that you sucked down ice cream and cake all day long and you can't stay awake because you've been on a sugar high all week. Stay awake long enough, I can show some of you how to survive the Christian life. But you're going to have to get enough strength to stay awake to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. And I'm telling you right now, making God happy reduces stress. And if you can reduce stress, it will increase your strength. And the Bible says here, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now this is a promise of physical strength. This is a promise of spiritual strength. This is a promise of emotional strength given to us by God. Now, I want you to know though, this verse does not say, if I have joy, if I have the joy of the Lord, I will be strong. That's not what the verse says. Some people say, well, that right there says the joy of the Lord is going to make me strong. It's not talking about you having joy. It does say, if I give God joy, then I will be strong. Listen to the verse. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, you reduce stress by stop worrying about if you're happy or not and do what makes God happy. We don't know we are tired if we're busy making someone we love happy. What happens to us is we start feeling weary, we start getting down, and we start looking at ourselves, and we worry about our joy, and we worry about our happiness. Christian, keep your eyes on the joy of the Lord. You make God happy with your life, and strength will come to you. I was thinking about this. I watched this year at Martinsburg Christian Academy. I was at a ball game one night, and I was watching the ball game as our varsity team was playing. And I watched Brother Pete Reinberg, one of our good men, I watched him come into the game. Now, Brother Reinberg drives back and forth. He goes back and forth to Washington, D.C. all week long. He works at a big law firm down there, a very high-stress job, a lot of pressure at the job. Takes him all, you know how long it takes to get from here to the city and back, and then dealing with all the professionals and the legal people. I watched him walk into the back door of the gym. You could just tell by looking on the face, he's just plumb tuckered out. He was wore out. He walked in, his boy was in the ball game. As his son was doing well in the game, I watched Brother Reinberg suddenly forget how tired he was. I watched a joy come about him. I virtually watched a strength come in him. Why? He seen the joy of his boy doing well. As a result of it, strength came. You see, the same thing is true with God. If we love God like we should, then we will want to make him happy. We will therefore get strength from him being happy. That's what the promise is. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now listen to me, Christian. Somehow we get the idea that the Christian life is all about us. And what God is all about me and taking care of me and doing for me and providing for me. I've got news for you. Christian life's really about you and I serving him. Serving him, serving him, serving him. You say, I want to be made happy in life. The best way for you to be made happy in life is to make God happy in life. You make God happy, and you're getting your eyes off of you. It will lower your stress. It will increase your strength. Sometimes when I need strength, I'll go out and win somebody to Jesus Christ. You say, why? I'll tell you why. The Bible says this in Luke 15:7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Luke 15:10 says the very same thing. You see, if I'm down, if I'm weary, if I'm tired, I need to get my eyes off of me. I go out and put my eyes on somebody else, and I tell someone about Jesus, and I get them born again. I help them to get saved, and then I get to thinking about how much that pleases God, and I, by soul winning, brought joy to the Lord, and He brings to me strength. Because the Bible says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you're down, you better figure out what makes God happy. See, what you get to worry about is what makes you happy. I'm down. What's going to make me happy? 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 You are stressed because you have zeroed in on you, when if you wanted to get the stress gone, you should have zeroed in on Him and what makes Him happy. He said, you can lower your stress level by getting your eyes off yourself, get your eyes on me, and then I will come around and give you strength. Now, folks, I can't change that. That's in the Bible. That's what the Bible teaches. I start thinking about the joy that God gets in heaven when somebody gets saved and a certain strength comes across or comes to me. I promise you this. We have a Thursday night soul winning program here where we go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. I was thinking of the Nickersons. They work all day long. And they sit here in the choir today. They work all day long and they're hardworking folks. I'll watch them walk into the soul winning meeting on a wing and a prayer. They've been busy. They've raced around. And I'll be honest, they look tired when they come in. They're tired. They're weary. And you can tell. You can tell they're tired. But you know something? I've watched them at the conclusion of the night, after they've been out telling people about Jesus, watching people get saved, delivering the gospel, and it's funny the energy level that's there. Because you know what happened? They came in tired, got their eyes off themselves, got their eyes on what makes God happy, went out and told somebody about Jesus, and God said, because you got your eyes off yourself and on to me, the joy of the Lord is going to produce strength in the Christian life. And I wonder how many of you have ever experienced that. How many of you? Brother Leonard, I wonder how many times on a Saturday you show up at the bus meeting or you go out and visit your route and you're just plumb tuckered out. That man works mega hours. He is dead tired. But he starts out tired because he went and did what makes God happy. God said, I'll reward your making me happy by me making you strong. That's what the Bible's teaching. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But the problem is, there's that stinginess that's included in stress. And stress steals strength. Remove the stress, increase the strength. Does that make sense to you? Can you shake your head up and down like this? Oh, I hear things rattling. Stop before you shake something loose. I reduce my stress by getting my eyes off myself. God then increases my strength as I give Him joy. Let me give you another thought. Number two. Waiting on the Lord reduces stress and increases strength. I said number two, waiting on the Lord reduces stress and increases strength. I'll read to you from Isaiah chapter 40. It says in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. You hear that? He's giving strength to somebody that's faint. That's not talking about spiritually faint. It's talking about physically faint. It says he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Here's somebody that says, I just don't have any energy. And God said, I can give might, and I can give strength to the faint. He goes on in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30. It says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Here's the verse that is most popular there. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, some preachers want to say that that verse is just all about the power of God. It may be some about the power of God, but I think it's about everyday living for both you and me. I feel that that has something to do with physical strength. It says here he gives power to the faint. Now, how does he do it? Listen, he says, to them that have no might, he increases strength. The Bible says even the youths may faint. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now you've got to understand the word wait here. It's not this. Some people actually think that word wait there means I'm just sitting around waiting on God. Do 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 just sitting around waiting on God to come by and bless me and meet all my needs. Do 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 do, you know. I'm spiritual. Waiting on God. That is not what that means. That is not what that means at all. I'm just waiting on God to strengthen me. You say, I'd like to build up some big muscles, so I'm going to go to the weight room. I sit down there waiting on my muscles. No, if you're going to go to the weight room, you're going to lift some weights, and you're going to have to work at it. But this verse here is not talking about just waiting around. The term wait on the Lord is like the waiter at a restaurant. Waiting upon the Lord. The secret to having strength is waiting on the Lord, watching for His smallest desire. Now, what have you done? Remember, stress is stingy. And if you will do this, if you will get your eyes off of you and onto waiting on Him, you will reduce your stress, thereby increasing your strength. And that's exactly what that verse says. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Hey, some psychologist needs to look at the Bible and let the Bible tell them what it's all about. That's what it says here. What causes stress? Self-concern. What causes stress? Thinking about ourselves. And we're all guilty of it. I'm describing to all of us something that we all deal with. We get, if something happens and we get all concerned about ourselves and how it's going to affect me and what's going to do to me and what's going to happen to me. Even sometimes we get stressed about things that are happening to people around us. But if you really looked at it carefully, it was disconcerting to us. It was inconvenient for us. It's going to hurt us. And we're saying, I'm all stressed about what happened to Brother Dawes, but the truth is, how's that going to affect me? That's inconvenient for my emotions. Are you there? You see, what causes stress? That self-concern. When the waiter comes to your table, he's not thinking about himself. When a waiter comes to your table out at Cracker Barrel, she's not thinking about herself. Or she shouldn't be. She'll say to you, Brother Young, would you like it? Yeah, she's thinking of that tip. You got it, brother. Anybody that's a waitress, you better work at that thing. You don't make much on the hours. You better serve well. Why? He's going to take care of you. But that when that waiter comes, Brother Young, and says, would you like coffee?
No, sir.
Big baby. Brother Dosh, do you like coffee?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He's going to say yes no matter what. How do you like your coffee? Would you like sugar and cream?
No, sir. Just black.
Just black. Okay. You know what? I'm not going to bring him back coffee with cream and sugar in it. Why? I'm waiting on him. Want to meet his every need. I've got one here. Brother Young, do you like steak?
Yes, sir.
All right. How would you like your steak cooked? Medium? Raw?
Medium.
Okay. All right. You know what? When I serve him his steak, I'm going to give it to him medium. And when I give him his coffee, I'm going to give it to him black. But always, do you like salad?
No.
Then I'm not going to give you a salad. The waiter, the waitress, their desire is, if you wanted salad, we'd have to figure out what kind of dressing you want on it. Every salad ought to have dressing because we're against nudity. I'll tell you something, Christian. When you get busy taking God's orders and fulfilling them to the slightest request, you will get strength in your life. It is those who sit around and do nothing for God who lack God's strength. Serving God and others increases our strength. It does not decrease it. I'll tell you something. The more you serve Him, the more you want to serve Him. I'm telling you, anybody here that's been spiritual any time at all, the more you serve Him, the more you want to serve Him. But you'll find this out. The less you serve Him, the less you want to serve Him. Some of you are backslidden right now. You used to want to serve Him twice as much, but you started doing away with waiting on the Lord. Now you want to serve Him less. You see, this is the promise of Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What are we talking about? In stress, there is a stinginess. If I want to be strong, I've got to eliminate that which would steal my strength. So I get stress down by taking my eyes off of me, putting my eyes on the Lord. And He said, if you'll do that, I will come around the backside and I'll give you the strength that you needed. So I said, number one, the Bible's teaching us here, making God happy reduces stress and increases strength. I said, number two, waiting on the Lord reduces stress and increases strength. Number three, taking God's yoke upon you reduces stress and increases strength. I said, taking God's yoke upon you reduces stress and increases strength. Matthew 11, verse 28, 29, and 30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now that's what we want. We need that rest. That's going to give us strength. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, wait a minute. Listen to this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Here's somebody that's coming and saying, I need rest. I've been laboring. I'm heavy laden. God, what do you want me to do? What's the answer, Dr. Jesus? Oh, I'm so tired. And he said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke? A yoke? That's a piece of equipment that attached two mules or two oxen together for work. For work. God is saying, if you want rest and strength, get in the yoke with God. What do you mean? What's that mean? Work for God. You say, but Brother Owens, I'm tired. Well, I'll tell you something. You'll get strength from God if you'll get in the yoke and work with God. See, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense to you. God's the one that developed the truth. So that doesn't calculate in my brain. It doesn't have to. It calculates in the Word of God, and that's His brain, and it's always true. God is saying, if you want rest, if you want strength, He said, take my yoke upon you. You know, when you're busy working for someone else, you have no time to think about yourself. There it is. Stress has a great big element or dose of stinginess in it, self-concern in it. And God said, if I can help you get your eyes off of you and you get in the yoke with me and work with me, I will give you strength. And that's what you needed. He said, I'm tired. What do I do? Yoke up with Jesus and He will give you strength. When you're busy working for someone else, you have no time to think about yourself, and that will reduce your stress. He also tells us here by working for Him that we will learn of Him and that we will get the rest that we need. If you really want to get to know somebody, you work with them. You don't really get to know someone by playing with them. You get to know people by working with them. Folks, I'm going to say something, and some of you, I don't intend to offend you. Some of you will be offended. Those of you that all you do is come around the church, hang around, listen to me preach, you don't know God as much as what you think you do. The ones that I have a true belief in them knowing God are the ones that both hear the preaching and then get in the harness and do the work of God at the church. Those are the ones that really know God. Because you don't get to know God by playing on God's playground. You get to know God by working in God's field. And the field is ripe under harvest. You listen to me. You get to know somebody by working with Him. And that's what He said. You get my yoke upon you and you'll get the rest you need. You'll get the strength that you need. And as a result, you're going to really get to know me. If you want to know the Lord, you got to work hard. Many times I've come to this pulpit with barely enough strength to stand. But I can tell you this. When I finished my sermon, I was so full of strength, I was ready to preach another. What did I do? I forgot about my weariness. I went to God to get His message to get to a group of people that I love, and I needed to put aside my burden to help you bear your burden. And God said, you know what, Jeff, I'll give you strength for that. I think we even when we're children and we teach our children not to be concerned about ourselves all the time. Folks, let me tell you something. One of the best ways to make it through through life is to get your eyes off yourself. That's the Christian life. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. I had my strength renewed by getting in the yoke with Him, delivering His sermon to His people to help them, and then I've got this extra added energy. In Matthew 11, verse 29 there, it says this. It says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That word soul there is talking about your inner man. You know, there's something on the inside of you that talks to the outside of you that tells you what to do. And God is saying, if you'll get in the yoke with me, get your eyes off yourself, get in the yoke with me, work with me, I am going to renew your strength. I'm going to give you strength. And He said, you're going to get strength to your souls. What does it mean? If you will get in the yoke with God, get your eyes off yourself, thereby reducing your stress, you're going to increase your strength, and your inner man will say to your outer man, get moving, you can do this. Get moving. That's where it comes from anyway. Some of you let the outer person tell the inner person what to do. You better let the spiritual inside of you tell the rest of you what to do. Take your orders from the true spiritual headquarters. That is the spirit that lies within you. Your soul can find rest. He's saying when you get under the yoke, you'll not even realize how heavy your load is. You'll forget about yourself, and therefore you'll forget about yourself. Folks, and let me tell you, you've just got to keep on serving God. Just keep on serving God. You see, taking on God's yoke reduces our stress. I flew to Denver, Colorado recently, and I was just plumb tuckered out. I preached all day Sunday here, and Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and probably had 40 or 50 people that came in my counseling line asking me questions that could change the rest of their lives. Get out of here an hour after everybody else on a Sunday night. Get home, get 2 or 3, 4 hours worth of sleep. Get up, go to the airport, go through the whole mess. Stop somewhere along the way, fly to Chicago, Chicago to Denver. I was plumb tuckered out. I'll be very honest, when I got to the conference where I was preaching, I said, I am so tired. I am just so tired. Brother Doss, I said to myself on the inside, I said, you know something, when I arrive at the conference, I'm walking in, I'm preaching, I'm walking out, I'm going to my room. I just got to get this sermon over with. I got to get to my room. I just feel like I'm going to crumble. I was on my way, I got to the conference, and a pastor came over to me, and he said, Brother Owens, he said, I am so glad you're here. You don't know how bad my church needs you. And I thought, I better not be worrying about how tired I am. I said, okay, Lord, give me the energy. I'm going to give this thing the very best. If this is the last sermon I ever preach for the rest of my life, if I die after this sermon, I'm going full force for the next hour. I'm not letting up for anything. That man just told me his church needed me. And there I was, having a pity party and feeling all tired and feeling like I couldn't go on and feeling like I was all wore out. I said, but I can't do that. I said, here we go. And for an hour, hour and 15 minutes, we had an old-fashioned revival and people came to the altar, people getting right with God. I seen that pastor go from a bit of a glum look on his face to a big old smile. He's back there clapping his hands at the end of the service. He gave me the thumbs up. You know something, Brother English? I stayed at the church, fellowshipping, shaking hands, and answering questions for about an hour after church. I thought, where'd I get that energy? Where'd that come from? You understand? You get in the yoke. You say, it seems like getting in the yoke is going to wear me out. That's not God's way. God said, get in the yoke with me and I'll strengthen you. I've got something here. A woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office. After his checkup, the doctor called the wife into his office alone. He said, your husband is suffering from a very severe stress disorder. If you don't do the following, your husband will surely die. The doctor continued, every morning fix him a healthy breakfast. Be pleasant at all times. Kiss him gently. For lunch, make him a nutritious meal. For dinner, prepare an especially nice meal for him. Don't burden him with any chores. Don't discuss your problems with him. It will only make his stress worse. No nagging at him for the next 10 months to a year. And I think if you'll do this and keep your mother away from him, he will regain his health completely. On the way home, the husband asked his wife, honey, what did the doctor say to you in private? To which his wife responded, honey, it's inevitable. You're going to die. Folks, I call the sermon, remember it, stress, the strength stealer. Stress has an element of stinginess within it. And if you and I can get the stress down, our strength will stay up. That means we've got to get our eyes off ourselves and our eyes on something else. Because when we do, our stress level lowers. And God said, I can then help provide strength. Making God happy, that reduces stress and increases strength. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Waiting on the Lord reduces stress and it increases strength. And that's where God told us, he said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Taking God's yoke reduces stress and increases strength. Where he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. you. He said, I am going to give you strength by getting in the yoke with me. Let me give you something else. Doing things God's way reduces stress and it increases strength. Doing things God's way, it reduces stress, it increases strength. Proverbs 10:29 says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Notice the promise, do it His way, and He'll give you strength. Do it His way, and He'll give you strength. Well, you say, where's the stinginess in that? Stop doing it your way. Stop trying to do everything your way. Start doing everything His way. The stress will drop. When the stress drops, the strength will increase. If I look at me, and I face my problems my way, I cause me stress. If I face my problems God's way, that will then help to relieve stress. When you try to solve all your problems your way, you find yourself weak, beggarly, and falling apart at the seams. When you start solving your problems God's way, that reduces stress and it increases strength and you can make it through it. God is a true strength giver. If you solve problems God's way, He will give you the confidence you need to handle your situations in life. I don't try to preach my way. I try to preach His way. That gives me a certain confidence. That confidence lowers stress. I'll tell you something. I went through a little spell where I was trying to please people in the congregation with my preaching. It's tearing me to shreds. It was tearing me to shreds. I was losing my confidence, Brother Bob. You know what I decided? I've had it with that junk. I'll preach God's way. If you don't like it, you can lump it. You say, whoa, a lot of confidence there. You guessed her, Chester. I stopped trying to do it my way, decided to do it God's way. It reduced the stress. It increased the power. I got a wonderful letter from Brother and Mrs. Brinklow that said, preacher, I'm glad you're back to normal. I'm glad you just cut loose and let her fly. There's a confidence in doing it God's way. Does that make sense to you? I'm telling you how I survived the weight of life. I have my fair share that I carry. I shouldn't have said that. There's a lot more of me than what there used to be. When I preach or say what God wants, I have a certain confidence. That confidence then reduces stress. That then increases strength. What am I doing? I'm doing it God's way. When I do what I do God's way, I don't have to worry about what I'm doing. You know something, folks? If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said. If you do it God's way, then you don't have to worry about the fallout. You don't have to worry about what comes. But when you start doing it your way or somebody else's way, there's that stinginess and the stress comes because it's self-centeredness. If we would get our eyes off of our way, get our eyes on His way, it reduces stress. Stress steals strength, but if you reduce the stress, you can increase your strength. Singers. Singers sometimes mess up and forget their words. Can I tell you why I think that? I think they get self-conscious about how they're doing. You get a duet or a soloist up here, and if they get too self-conscious about how they're doing, they get so self-observing, they forget their words and they mess up. Can I tell you something, singers? Once you practice and practice and practice and prayed over a song, get up here and cut loose and sing. Don't worry about how you're doing. Do your best. Hang the rest. And I'll promise you, it'll come out better that way. You say, oh, I'm all stressed, I'm all stressed. Hey, do it for God. Don't do it for yourself. If you stand up here singing for yourself, you'll be all freaked out and all nervous. Do it for God. If you'll do it for God, the stress level will lower and the strength will increase. If we get our minds off of ourselves and just do things for God, God's way, it'll build confidence, it relieves stress, and it'll add to your strength. Let me give you another one. Maybe the most important point, and I'm hurrying. Not quitting during times of adversity decreases stress and increases strength. I said not being a quitter during times of adversity. It decreases stress and it increases strength. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 24:10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And say, it's gotten a little bit tough. Don't quit now. If you quit now, it's going to get worse. It'll get worse. Listen to what it says. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Which means this, if you don't faint in the day of adversity, your strength is big. I want big strength. Preachers who have troubles, and because of those troubles quit, they end up losing their strength. Preachers who have troubles but don't quit retain their strength. Get your eyes off of your will. Get your eyes on the will of God in regard to your adversity and just keep going. The great Dr. Lee Robertson was in the ministry for over... I mean, you're talking about a man that preached and stayed in the ministry until he was in his late 90s. And I want to tell you, he fought the battles. How in the world did a man almost 100 years old keep on going? He got his eyes off himself. He glued his eyes on the Lord. And when adversity came, he said, I can't quit now. It'll make me weak. Irvin Bill was my wife's adopted grandfather. My wife didn't know any of her grandparents. They'd all died during World War II. My Irvin Beale, he worked in a factory for many years. He was a security guard. He would walk for 8 straight hours a night, 5 nights a week. Irvin would walk and walk and walk. Irvin was, he was a picture of health. He was 80 years old and still walking as a security guard. Irvin finally was forced to retire. I had no idea this would happen to him. He was a picture of health the day that he retired. Within 3 months, Irvin's health had failed him. He died within 6 months. I'll tell you why. He went home and he sat down. Someone said, take a break. You'll last longer. Somebody later told me Irvin should have kept on walking. Live your life. You just keep walking. You might not walk as fast as you used to walk, but you just keep walking. You say, it's heavy. Walk while it's heavy. You say, I'm tired. Walk while you're tired. Well, I'm weary. Walk while you're weary. But keep walking. Don't stop now. Some of you senior citizens, I can add 10, 15 years to your life. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you throw in a towel. You keep going. You can't do what you once could do, but you can do something. You can do something. Keep going forward. You say, I'm not well. Do what you can while you're not well. That's all. You see, I'm saying to you, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If you start backing off too much, you'll become weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. If you refuse to turn back, you will forget yourself. If you refuse to turn back, you'll forget yourself. The stress will be relieved and strength will come. You know, all the time you spend thinking about quitting is draining you of your strength. You are stressing you. People who don't plan to quit have less stress and more strength. Most of our weakness is caused by stress that is caused by self-observation. If you spend your strength thinking about being weary, you'll be even more weary. You hear me? If you spend your strength thinking about being weary, you become more weary. Stop having a pity party about being tired. See, during adversity, plan not to faint. And you know something, suddenly strength will come. Oh, I'll make you a promise. If I could challenge your inner man enough today, I could get some of you the strength to start succeeding tomorrow when you were failing today. And it was all the result of strength. I'm not going to give you a vitamin pill. I'm not going to be able to get you a little extra sleep tonight. I can just tell you this. Somebody here needs to decide. You know what, brother Watts? I've decided that I'm not going to quit. I came in here and I was all bummed out today and I was all tired today. And I didn't know if I could go on today. But you know something? I changed my mind. I will go on. I will not quit. I will not give the devil the upper hand. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to put my tail in between my legs and run. You know something? Somebody that walked in all down can walk out all on top, and you will find an energy that you didn't even know you have. And anybody that's ever been through it, you know there are times when it happens. There are times when the coach, hey, all the team players are saying, I'm wore out and I'm tucked in. The coach says, let's go, boys. One more quarter left. Dig in, dig in, dig in, dig in. And all the guys on the team say, let's rally, let's rally, let's rally. They come back and win a ball game. Why? Adversity had come. But they didn't stop when adversity came. They went on. Remember what it says. The Bible tells us here that the adversity, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I mean, it's going to get smaller and smaller. Suddenly, strength comes. I'm finished, but let me say this, and I just touch on it and go. Listening to God's Word decreases stress, and it increases strength. The Bible says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. You know, God's Word is better than a stress ball or an exercise bike. Why? God's Word is a book all about you getting your eyes off yourself and getting your eyes on Him and eyes on the needs of others. It just relieves stress. I'll tell you something. Those of you that aren't saved, you're not born again, getting saved will decrease stress and increase strength. If I was on my way to hell, I'd be stressed too. The only thing I had to look forward to was dying and going to hell. I'd be stressed. I'd be doing drugs, drinking alcohol, popping pills. I'd be behaving in weird ways. You get saved. Forget yourself. Get born again. Let Jesus save you. That will decrease your stress. And then for some of you who you say, I'd really like to change my life, you get saved, it'll decrease stress and thereby increase your strength. Because when you get saved, humble yourself before God. Get your eyes off yourself. Humble yourself before God. He'll come into your heart and save you. He will seal a person by the name of the Holy Spirit of God inside you, and suddenly you have a strength to overcome in life that you've never experienced before. Salvation decreases stress and increases strength. I call the sermon Stress, the Strength Stealer. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. 27 times God said, be strong. Say, how? How? Get your eyes off yourself. Stop reducing your strength by being self-centered. Get your eyes on Him. And when you do, He said, I then can renew your strength. Some of you that are plummeting backwards, stop it. Stop it. That's it. He said, I've done that before. Do it again. Stop yourself from going backwards again and say, that's it. I'm turning around. I'm going the other direction. Where will I get the strength? You just do what God wants you to do. The strength will come. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.